presentation is Finding Benefit in Endophytes to Mitigate the Effects of Freezing Stress in Perennial Ryegrass. Authors are Garrett Hynek, Eric Watkins, Angela Orshinsky, and Nancy Olkay. Presenting, Garrett Hynek.
Thank you for the introduction, Dr. Chandra. So I'm really excited to talk to you guys about some research that I've been working on for about the last year and a half about fungal endophytes and how they impact freezing stress in perennial ryegrass. So as many of you know, perennial ryegrass is a common turf and forage species. It's used on golf courses, home lawns, sports fields. What many of you may not know is actually that there's a large seed production region in Minnesota for perennial ryegrass. And that's worth noting for later on the presentation. Also, perennial ryegrass is a Mediterranean origin, so that's going to come up in the, you can kind of guess from that fact that many of you know that it has a pretty sensitive to freezing temperatures and winter kill. So ryegrass is also often infected with beneficial endophyte Epicloe festucae variety lowlii. So this is just an example of winter kill in Minnesota. We'll go into fall with a nice healthy green plant, it'll overwinter, but then in the spring we'll end up with a nearly dead or dead plant. So there's a fungi that lives within the plant, like I mentioned earlier, and it grows intracellularly. It's anamorphic, which means it doesn't have a sexual stage. And you can see, so here's some hyphal elements coming out of a section of tiller growing onto media. And here's just the endophyte growing in culture. And then here's just some hyphal cells growing. They're just hanging out in water. So ryegrass and this endophyte have a symbiotic relationship. They can often offer stress tolerances, such as insect herbivory, animal herbivory, or drought stress. But this relation often depends on things like location of coevolution, and then the genotype of the host and the microbe can play into the interaction. So my hypothesis, given that perennial ryegrass is a problem with winter kill, what is the effect of this endophyte on the freezing tolerance of perennial ryegrass? So in essence, I wonder if I thought maybe an E plus genotype or an infected genotype at a given freezing temperature may be able to survive when an E minus genotype dies. It's a premise. So to test this, I used a very diverse set of germplasm, ranging from very winter hardy to not winter hardy at all, as well as two commercial varieties, one of them being a University of Minnesota variety and the other being a variety bred by Peak Plant Genetics. The scale for the ones that have been rated for winter hardiness, it was a 1-9 scale developed by Hulke et al. In 2007. Okay, so to do this, test this effect, I need to develop populations. So this is just going to take you through my workflow for population development. So say we have a variety, one of the seven. We're going to grow 20 random seeds. Then we're going to test these seeds for endophyte infection using a tissue print immunoblot assay. So we find 10 E plus plants and 10 E minus plants, and wind up with two populations, one E plus and one E minus. E plus always has red around it, so if you get confused, like plus, like a battery, is red, okay? So, you now propagate these isogenic populations. I'm going to use the word isogenic to relate to the fact that when I'm saying I make two populations that are isogenic, they're genetically identical. The hosts are identical, okay? So, again, E plus has endophyte, E minus does not. Okay, so now we've propagated these out. We've got four populations. 2E plus congenital, which means E plus from the seed, and 2E minus congenital, which means E minus from the seed. I apply fungicide. Now I wind up with an E plus and E minus congenital, E minus fungicide population, which is the same as E plus congenital, but it just doesn't have endophyte, okay? And then the E minus control is just the E minus congenital that's had fungicide applied to it. These are propagated out to fulfill reps and freezing temperature treatments in my experiment. I'm just going to go through. I had six temperature treatments times four reps. That's how I got 24 clones for each population within each accession and variety. And I just put this number of 6,700 plants up here because it really gave me a robust idea of how this endophyte was impacting the plants on the population level. Okay, these plants were then completely blocked by temperatures to take care of some spatial variation, and then once again reconfirmed using the tissue print immunoblot analysis as well as some microscopy to find the hyphal elements. Let's see, running right here in the plant tissue. Okay, so acclimation was 14 days. They were 10-hour days at 50 micromoles, 3 degrees Celsius, and again, we had blocking going on to take into account any variation spatially. The freeze test itself that these plants went through It's 23 hours long. It was 1 degree Celsius ramp down per hour till we reached the minimum temperature, which was held for 1 hour. Temperature data loggers were also used to make sure we were reaching our minimum temperatures. Okay. So again, I repeated this to make sure the methods were actually repeatable using the same populations and genotypes. So they just went through the same freezing process as before. This is a typical death across treatments that I like to see. At negative 19 degrees Celsius, we see 100% death. At negative 9 degrees Celsius, we see 100% survival. And then somewhere in there, we get a population of that where 50% of the population has died, which we'll come into later in a little bit here. So the data analysis was in a binomial response fashion. So we could generate proportions and create a logistic regression of the progression of death across treatments. This was used to create LT50 for each rep. Then ANOVA could be used, and Fisher's LSD could also be used to actually separate means. Okay, so one is alive, zero is dead. All right. So here's the illustration of the LT50. Where the dotted lines cross, that's the lethal temperature 50. And I use that because we've seen in the literature before that this LT50 in perennial ryegrass really correlates quite well with winter survival in the field. And so we think we can see a difference in LT50 based on the fact that there's an endophyte present, then that might give us an idea that it has an impact in the field as well. Okay. So we're going to just go over quickly determining the effect of the endophyte based off these populations. So remember the E-minus fungicide and E-minus control have had fungicide applied to them. We know that the E-plus congenital and E-minus fungicide are isogenic, just like the E-minus congenital and E-minus control. Now, these population comparisons are non-isogenic, meaning the hosts are not identical. They're not cloned. Okay. So one question we can answer is the endophyte having a direct effect on freezing tolerance? To look at this, I chose to use, well, what makes sense to use is the E-plus congenital E-minus fungicide, because the only difference is we took out the endophyte. A second question I answered is this endophyte associated with freezing tolerant host? To do this, we look at E-plus congenital and E-minus congenital. Because the hosts are not genetically identical, we cannot directly say the endophyte is having an effect on freezing tolerance. And then most studies don't do this, but I threw this in here to test the effect of the fungicide having, what effect the fungicide is having on freezing tolerance. I looked at E-minus congenital and E-minus control, because the only difference between these two populations is the application of fungicide. Okay. So ranking these varieties across accessions was quite consistent between tests. So remember, I had test 1 and test 2. Grand Slam and Green Emperor were the top two in both, and PI223178 and W611256 were the bottom overall for freezing tolerances in both of these tests. We had some differences in the middle, but they're not actually significant. So to answer question 1, the endophyte does not have a direct effect on freezing tolerance. We had very, very similar regression lines. So again, E plus is always red, E minus always blue, so you guys don't get confused. So where they cross here, where the lines cross, they're the same. There's no significance. However, when we look at question 2, the endophyte is generally associated with a freezing tolerant host. And I'm not 100% sure why this is, but we're going to get into that at the end a little bit here. So we actually saw in test 1 overall an advantage. Having the endophyte association was about 0.6 degrees Celsius, and then an advantage of 0.8 degrees Celsius in the second test. Question 3 gets a little funky. So the fungicide had no effect in the first test, but had an effect in the second test, from what I can tell. I am not 100% sure why this is. However, it's not really relevant when we're comparing the congenital E plus and E minus populations. Okay. PI610806 was one of the fairly winter hardy varieties or accessions that we used. And you can see that comparing the E plus congenital and E minus congenital, we saw a nice difference in LT50, where the E plus plants got about a 1.4 degrees advantage in freezing tolerance. Likewise, an NK200, which is an old turf slash forage variety out of, they used it at University of Minnesota, saw a very large advantage for having an endophyte associated with its host. In the first test, about 2.5 degrees Celsius, and in the second test, about 1.6 degrees Celsius. Green Emperor, a University of Minnesota bred variety, had only significant effect of endophyte associated with the host, so the E-plus congenital had a more favorable LT50 than E-minus congenital in the second test. I wanted to look at kind of other physiological responses that could kind of portray or help me understand why we're seeing this effect. And one thing that kind of popped out in my mind was counting tillers and just looking at, is xenophyte associated with more tillering? Because you see that in the literature sometimes. So I looked at overall, what is the effect of endophytes on tillering? Well, we see that the E plus and E minus fungicide, remember, isogenic, in general, had more tillers than the E minus congenital and E minus control in both tests, significantly different, the E plus congenital and the E minus congenital. Okay. This is a picture of NK200, and you can really see the difference in this one, this variety, where you see the E minus congenital and control having much fewer tillers, and they're much more foragy than these E plus congenital plants. So, but that's not always the case, because overall there are more tillers in E plus congenital. It's not always as noticeable as that. So here's an example of green emperor. I just threw this in here because I didn't want to make you think that all the time we see that there's this huge phenotypic difference, but we do see it sometimes. So overall, I need to conclude that endophytes have no negative effect on freezing tolerance, and populations within some of the accessions differ for freezing tolerance. And although the endophyte is not the direct cause of an increase in freezing tolerance, it is associated oftentimes with a freezing tolerant host, or so it seems. One reason I thought that might explain this is Keith Clay had some work where he was looking at the change in proportion of endophyte in populations over time. And different effects or different stresses can change the proportion over time. So say we're selecting plants for winter hardiness and seed production, you might get these segregating populations where the endophyte is beneficial for some populations but not others. But leveraging this in a practical standpoint is quite obvious. So E plus congenital, those plants can be taken out initially, and as you can see in these two varieties in one accession, if we just, as a plant breeder, are using some of these older varieties, especially in accessions, it seems like if we can identify the endophyte infected individuals and just use those right off the bat, we can really have some advantage in freezing tolerance, which might relate to winter hardiness. So future directions, I would really like to analyze this data on a genotype level, because right now I'm looking at it on a population level, but I have the ability to go down to the genotype level. There's 10 genotypes right per population. And look at those effects and see if there's any favorable interactions at that smaller scale. As well, I would like to test larger populations of E plus congenital and E minus congenital genotypes to reconfirm this finding that I just presented. So with that, I'd like to present my work cited. Acknowledgements, I'd like to thank Dr. Eric Watkins, Nancy Elke, and Angela Shinsky, as well as the Turfgrass Lab. Statistical support from Ian Lane, and then my funding was from the Minnesota Agricultural Experimental Station Variety Development Fund. So thank you, and any questions, I'd be happy to answer. Yes.
Do you have any information on how persistent that particular endophyte is in perennial ryegrass over time?
So the question was the persistence of the endophyte in the ryegrass over time. Do you mean in the seed or in the plant itself?
Plant.
I'd say pretty persistent. I've never seen it actually. It's very hard to remove. I mean, removing this with fungicides is very, very difficult. Five applications of Kestrel at maximum rate usually takes it out of the plant. I've never seen it get knocked out by freezing stress either, although I've read in tall fescue that can sometimes happen, but I'm not sure about ryegrass, but I'd say it's pretty persistent. Yes? Oh, yeah, right in the beginning, I didn't say it, but yeah, they should be diploid. I'm not using any specific tetraploid cultivars. Yeah. Yes? Yes, so there was actually two confirmation steps. So I didn't tell you about, so after they get applied, or they're treated five times with propiconazole, or Kestrel in this case, they'll get tested using an immunological test, and then right before they go into the acclimation chamber, I randomly select ones, and then they get tested using immunoblot again, plus the microscopy. So I'm pretty sure about these guys, their endophyte status. So I wanted to be really careful about that in this study. But yeah, great question. It's very relevant. Yes?
What are the average yields of ryegrass in green grow versus the perennial?
Oh, that's interesting, because I really like seed production. So if you want to come talk to me, I'm moving the poster session day at 4. But I'd say it varies year to year a lot. I'd say about 1,000 pounds an acre would be a decent average. I mean, it would be like this year we're probably at like 750 or 800, but last year we were at like, you might see like 1,200 pounds or something. But yeah, I mean, Oregon's going to be pushing over 2,000 pounds, I would think. I don't know if Lee is in here or not, but she could correct me, I'm sure. But I think it's about probably like 60% or 40% decrease or something like that.
Thank you, Gator.
Thank you.